Welcome to the I Spy with My MyoEye podcast. I am your host, Brittany Murphy. I am a certified oral facial myologist, registered dental hygienist, and lifelong learner. My goal with this podcast is to bring you up to date in current literature and expand your knowledge of oral facial myofunctional disorders so that together we can get to the root cause of the problem. You ask, we'll answer by collaborating with true pioneers and specialties associated with the myo world. Join me on this journey as we dive into the life-altering world of tethered oral tissues and airway space. Let's do this thing. Quick disclaimer, all content expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the speakers and is for informational purposes only. You should not rely on this information as a substitute for, nor does it replace, professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Because every person is so unique, you should always consult with your specialized healthcare professional. Julie Fligar is a lawyer who serves as president and CEO of Project Sleep. Julie is an internationally recognized patient perspective leader, an accomplished advocate, and the award-winning author of Wide Awake and Dreaming, a memoir of narcolepsy. Good afternoon, or I guess good morning for you, Julie. I'm very excited to have you on the podcast. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Brittany.
Absolutely. So everybody, we are here to talk about a really awesome project that Julie actually founded. And when was Project Sleep founded, Julie?
10 years ago, 2013.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about how you came to found it and what, you know, kind of like the steps were that you took to get it going.
Yeah. So I was diagnosed with narcolepsy when I was in law school. And I remember thinking, I couldn't have narcolepsy. Like, that's a joke about someone falling asleep when they're standing or in the middle of a conversation.
Right.
But actually, I was living with all the real symptoms for many years throughout college and beginning of law school. So that was like kind of confusing. And I started studying health policy in law school just to basically keep me awake. It was now more interesting based on my personal experience. Mm-hmm. And kind of became interested in the fact that sleep science had been coming along really well. We were learning that sleep was absolutely critical for health and your well-being. But still in law school, people were bragging about pulling all-nighters. Mm-hmm. And that kind of, so I thought like our culture is behind. I decided to actually write a book about my experience living with narcolepsy because I hadn't really seen any accurate representation in movies or popular media. So when I graduated from law school, I wrote a book about my experience and moved to Washington, D.C. and just began showing up at meetings. Anywhere that was like a public meeting about sleep or narcolepsy, I would just show up at the FDA and NIH and Capitol Hill. So I slowly became getting involved in volunteering, basically. Mm-hmm. And eventually in 2013, did decide to found Project Sleep as, I think, more of a patient-driven organization focused on sleep health, sleep equity, and sleep disorders. So, you know, really bringing a patient voice forward, but also kind of younger generation. We try to say, like, how do we make sleep cool? and just, you know, trying to be a newer voice in the sleep community.
Yeah. And I, you know, I love how you talked about like the public perception of sleep, because it is so super wonky what people even think, you know, talking about even like quality versus quantity of sleep. Like, you know, a lot of parents thinking, oh, my kids are getting such great sleep because they're in bed from 9 p.m. to 7 a.m., but not really thinking about like the quality of sleep that they're getting. And there's so many sleep disorders out there. You know, I feel like mostly when people think about sleep disorders, they think about obstructive sleep apnea, but there's, as you know, a huge umbrella that covers sleep disordered breathing issues. So this was so cool. When I saw this on Emma's page, I was like, oh my God, I need to know more about this. And I was so happy that, you know, she connected you and I. So talk a little bit about, you were saying how, I think this is how you came to meet Emma with the Rising Voices program that you have.
Yeah. Emma first, I think, participated in an event we have every March called the Sleep-In, where we're trying to make peace with sleep over, you know, the weekend before the daylight savings change. Mm. So we invite people to raise awareness about sleep, and we call it a Sleep-In. People don't have to actually stay in bed, but you know, just spending the weekend raising awareness from our beds, basically.
Yep. Sounds fabulous to me.
Yeah. And then Emma did the Rising Voices training program that we have, which is one of my proudest things is, having written a book about my own experience and given presentations over the years. I love my story, but also everyone has such an amazing story, and we need a diversity of voices out there. So, the Rising Voices trains people with different sleep disorders on how to share their story so they can go out to their community and be raising awareness. So yes, Emma participated in that and then just kept getting involved, and now she's a board member, with Project Sleep.
So awesome. And I love listening to her because she's so real about her sleep disorder, things that work and things that people say that are like just totally ludicrous and like really getting down to the nitty-gritty because not everybody can be managed the same way. And what might work for you might not work for me. And so it's been enlightening, to hear, like you said, from that patient side of it, I think is so important because so often you're hearing from, the doctor's perspective or somebody involved in the field, but to hear about the patient experience and what they're dealing with on a daily basis. I mean, it's just so important. And I'm sure that the amount of support and the community that you've created for patients that are struggling with some kind of sleep disorder is just absolutely beautiful. So let's talk a little bit then about the newest project that you have that you launched in December.
Yeah, so we were really excited to launch the Sleep Helpline as a new resource. Of course, people for the last 10 years have been reaching out to Project Sleep with lots of questions, but we didn't actually really have a formalized process for what kind of information we're providing to people, making sure that we're really taking the time and attention to be there. And so, you see other helplines in other areas, mental health, of course, but other disease-specific helplines are out there. So we're really excited to finally, we took about a year to develop this program. We looked at nine other helplines in other spaces and, decided on a version that would work well for the sleep space. So we invite people that, don't know if they might have a sleep condition to call us, in addition to people that are already diagnosed. And it's just navigational support. It's not medical advice by any means. It's just, honestly, sometimes like a listening ear to help you think through your own thoughts, but then also like what kind of resources are out there? What are some good next steps to think about? And so just, having that as a formal program is just a really exciting step for Project Sleep, but also just for the community in general. To be able to offer that, because I really think there are probably just so many more people out there that just don't know who to go to, and and sometimes even you go to a primary care doctor and you bring up sleepiness and they actually kind of minimize your feelings or direct you in another direction. So just empowering people to really even know that their experience is real and that and they should, advocate for themselves, I think will be a huge support.
Awesome. Now, do you guys have programs for like all ages? Is it just parent support groups? Like, how does that work?
Oh, so we actually don't run any support groups. We often recommend people to other nonprofits that do
Awesome.
run
Okay.
support groups for different disease-specific communities. But that's kind of some of the navigational support we want to help people with because it's not always
Right.
easy to even know which nonprofits are providing what programs. So,
Right.
we've really taken a look at all of the available programs in the sleep space so that we can help people reach the social support that they need. So yeah, the helpline is just more of a one-on-one support with a person that's staff that's taking the time and energy to help you with your specific
Right.
questions, doing research to figure out what kind of resources there are in your state sometimes, all stuff like that, and helping you hopefully get to something if people are looking for social support to something like a support group.
Now, the staff members that are on the helpline, are they people also undergoing sleep issues and kind of have been there, or are they more from the medical background or both, or how does that work?
Yeah, we looked at different helplines and like what kind of staff they had, and there was a wide variety. I think as the helpline grows, we could have some people with some more specialized backgrounds. We know like one helpline we looked at, they had something like a patient advocate themselves, but they also had someone like a nurse practitioner that could help people through reimbursement,
Oh,
paperwork. Yeah, so there's some
wow. Yeah,
really
I didn't
great
even think about
models.
that part because that's really needed, I'm sure.
Yeah, so there's some really great models out there. to start for now. You know, we don't have anything super specific. Our helpline manager does have a, you know, she is a licensed counselor. And so that is her background. Again, she's not providing counseling services via the helpline, but of course, her skill set in listening to people and validating their concerns is a huge asset and a reason that, you know, she was a great fit for the role as a manager. But that's our first employee for the helpline. And we hope to have a second staff member this year as the program grows.
Now, how could somebody get in touch with the helpline?
So we have three different ways. There's a phone number for people that like the phone, but of course, not everybody wants to call.
not so in today's world.
Yeah. So they can reach out via email. It's just helpline@project-sleep.com. And then of course we have it on our webpage, all over our website of, you know, there's a form that you can fill out and then someone will reach out back to you, within the next day. So, you know, I think it's really interesting that some people really do, like for me, sometimes like healthcare can be so, I get so frustrated, like listening to automated messages.
Oh and, my gosh. Yes. Like just, I want to talk to a human.
Right. Like in a portal that I need to remember my stupid password to get into some portal to, so, you know, sometimes you just want to get on the phone, but then of course we really recognize, obviously some people don't want to, or they're, you know, busy at work and they can't like, get away for a phone call. So of course, we'll have email available too.
Awesome. And what if somebody's interested in sharing their story? How should they, what should they do? How should they get in contact with the organization?
Yeah. So we actually will launch the Rising Voices. It's a training program. It's pretty intense. It takes place every summer. So, you know, but the application for this summer's program will open mid-February, and that'll be open through about mid-April. So we have a few months where people just fill out a short application about themselves. Mm-hmm. And we are looking for a wide variety of people. We have over 150 now trained speakers in 18 countries around the world. So, wow. Yeah, so we do offer it to anyone internationally. There is a small fee, to participate in the program, which also if there are financial concerns, we can waive the fee. But it's a really wonderful program. Our manager of Rising Voices, she works with people individually to really shape their story into a presentation. So when they graduate, they have like a 20 to 30 minute presentation about themselves that they can go to high schools, medical schools, you know, anything like that to present their story. And, you know, we do a lot of that training around like even their personal experience versus the variety of experiences that people have, and making sure that they're using language that's appropriate so that they can share their patient voice, but also not overstepping and offering anyone medical advice either.
Absolutely. And you said, how long does that program last?
It's over the summer is the like intensive training. Okay. It's about a month. Usually it starts mid-June to mid-July.
And this is a virtual program or?
Yes. Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, so cool.
Yeah, the participants get like a workbook in the mail, but then they mostly fill out, you know, responses that get reviewed by our manager, Lauren. And then there's opportunities to meet with other participants. So we do have some Zoom meetings so that the participants can meet and talk to each other as they're like forming their stories.
Now, have you ever had like a child or an adolescent in the Rising Voices, or is it mainly for adults and parents?
Yeah, that's a good question. We have been sticking to like having participants be 18 or older. Mm-hmm. And then we did just train one parent for the first time. Cool. On sharing their child's journey and their journey as a parent. So yeah, we're definitely open to that. But we'll probably stick with the 18 for now, 18 or older. There are some opportunities we know for youth to get more involved in some other programs that other nonprofits have. So we usually suggest those for people that are under 18. Yeah.
Awesome. And where can people find out more information? Can you talk about websites, social media handles, things like that?
Yeah. So project-sleep.com is our website, and we're on all the social media channels. We love Instagram the best probably. So, we're at project_sleep, I believe, on most, socials. And we always love hearing from people and get back to people on social media if they have any questions or need any links to any of our pages. And but of course, also if people have questions about their sleep, to always contact the sleep
Yeah,
helpline.
absolutely. And if you don't mind, can I ask, how's your sleep journey going?
Oh, thanks for asking. It's okay. I've been diagnosed with narcolepsy now for 16 years, so pretty well managed, I'd say. But always, it's not perfect by any means. So, I still take medication twice a night and once a day, and then I usually take a nap in the afternoon. And yeah, it's just day to day.
Now, did it take a while for you to get an, because I know, like how we said before, sometimes patients will go seek whatever their primary doctor and they kind of get brushed off a little bit. Did it take you a while to kind of find the right person to listen to like what you were saying?
I actually kind of lucked out. The first doctor I saw was very challenging and really dismissed when I said, I think I might have a sleep disorder. And I described that I couldn't even drive 15 minutes to school in the morning. She said that everyone gets tired when they drive and she has to pull over for a coffee. So it could just be like average sleepiness. And I didn't really know how to compare her sleepiness to mine. And I think one of the most startling, scary things to me is, it wasn't until I was well treated with medication that I all at once looked back and realized actually how bad it had gotten over so many years. So I don't even think I presented to that doctor as like, no, you don't understand. Like, I'm sleeping in this situation. I'm sleepy. I can't do this. I can't do that. Because I myself was almost minimizing it in my own head.
Well, you
So
probably
I
didn't know any different, right? Because you didn't know what being treated felt like or what getting better sleep felt like. And I feel like that is so common with patients with sleep disorders, is they really don't even know that they exist until, you either do more research on your own, or, for me as a myofunctional therapist, like a lot of parents will come in and they're like, I didn't even realize, like, I don't check on Benny's sleep. He's 12 now. You know what I mean? And adults that are like, well, I don't know. Like, I've been tired my whole life. Like, I've always been pressing snooze. As long as I can remember, I've been late for everything. And I feel like that's such a common thing that you hear. And, for us in the dental space, it's not, at least not normal for people to think yet, like, let me tell my dentist about my sleep. And when we do, sometimes they're like, why are you asking me this? Like, what is the connection here? I don't understand. Like, shouldn't my primary be asking me this? But unfortunately, that's not the case. I mean, every year I go to my primary for my physical, nobody ever asks me about my sleep, and hopefully these things change. And I'm sure, again, with organizations like yourselves and getting the word out there and more awareness, hopefully in the years to come, these will just be, standard of care.
Yeah, that's what we hope. We're trying to work on the policy level to make some of those changes, so that people are, being asked at a primary care level, or that there are public awareness campaigns. Professionals are being better educated about sleep and sleep disorders. So, yeah, it's just a huge, huge issue. Both empowerment, that we know that's not part of our character, or that we're somehow, it just gets somehow like put into your character, like that you're lazy or you're this or that, and it's just something wrong with you, as opposed to this is an external biological problem that you didn't like create. So yeah, there's just so much work to do. It's so exciting to do it. I try to not get frustrated and remember these all great opportunities to be part of change and all that.
Now, what is the, as far as like advocacy and the policies go, like what does that look like for you? Like, how often are you going to meetings? And I'm sure, it's there's a long road ahead, but and I'm sure that sometimes it can be frustrating. But, all the work and accomplishments that you've done with this foundation and all the lives you helped, I'm sure just gives you that fuel to kind of keep on going.
Oh yeah, I mean the advocacy I love. We work with great experts in DC, and we actually have a sleep bill that we're working on right now.
Oh,
And
cool.
yeah, and it's actually really focused on this lack of awareness, both public awareness and professional awareness. So we're trying to have the we're trying to have a bill to have the CDC really have a home for sleep, the same way that the CDC is our biggest public health institute for things like smoking cessation, obesity, a lot of different disease programs. They have a huge epilepsy program that they fund, seizure safe schools so that nurses at schools are educated about seizures and how to work with them. So, there's a great potential for sleep health and sleep disorders to really have a home at CDC that doesn't currently exist at all. So that's one of my biggest goals. It has been for a while, but it's actually right now a super exciting time because we're finally moving this bill forward. So there'll be more on that more publicly this summer when we ask people to reach out to their representatives to try to get their res representatives to consider, I think it's called like co-sponsoring the bill or something. So we're working behind the scenes on it more so right now. But that's just one of my biggest goals for my life. And then I can retire. I don't know. I think I'd be too young, but really exciting time for our advocacy and so grateful to the patients and the advocates across the country that participate. We have like a big letter every year as well around the appropriations bill, which has to do like the spending bill and making sure that sleep has a voice in that. So
Incredible.
it's really exciting and gratifying work.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for all you do and all you will continue to do. Is there anything else that you want to talk about or leave the listeners with before we wrap up?
No, thank you so much. And just we're always excited to hear from new people and get more people involved in the cause and answer any questions we can about your sleep too.
Absolutely. Everybody go check out their Instagram pages, spread the word about the helpline, anything that we can do again to help anyone out there that is suffering, and just continue to spread the awareness about the importance of sleep.
Thank you, Brittany.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of I Spy with My Maya Y. If you want to hear more about these episodes, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or feel free to contact me at hello@myctom.com. Don't forget to subscribe as well and let us know of any subject or guest speaker you'd like to hear from. Help spread the word by sharing today's episode on your social media page. You can find me on Facebook at CT Oral Facial Myology or Instagram handle CT_oralfacial_myology. Everybody have a wonderful day.